Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's great to have you back in the studio with us today.
Thank you.
You enjoyed some time off last week,
I know indeed.
You had a fantastic time.
Up in New York for several days, and had the opportunity to see a Broadway show called An American in Paris, and I certainly would recommend it to anybody who has the chance to see it. Of course, it comes well recommended with a movie of the same name quite a number of years ago with Gene Kelly as the star in the starring role, and of course based on Gershwin tunes from the 1920s and early 30s, I believe. And man, what an experience! It was just great.
Well, I think you liked it.
I did indeed.
Well, nice to have you back, Bob.
Thank you,
it's
my friend.
Always good to have the full team reunite. Well, this month we're talking about the fact that grace-filled faith is expressed with heartfelt thanks. One of the signs that we have really trusted Jesus is this attitude of thankfulness that grips our hearts. And today I want to talk to those in our audience who are married. And I think as far as the gospel account is concerned, we see the reality of the living Christ up close and personal within these marriage relationships. And I think that's something that we should be thankful for.
Absolutely.
So if you're married, I don't know when the last time you in your prayer life just said, Lord, thank you for this person that mm-hmm. you sent my way, that we have become one in you, and that we can share this life together. I'm encouraging you to do that, mm-hmm. to say thank you for that spouse of yours.
Yeah.
For me, that spouse, her name is Gina,
mm-hmm.
and I can remember the first day I saw her, and I thought, wow, she is something else.
Yeah.
And boy, we started a friendship, and we started talking, and 2 years later, we went out, and then, you know, like 9 months later, we get married. And so we're going to celebrate an upcoming anniversary next March. But I just thank the Lord for her every single day, and I see the reality of Christ living through her. There's so many times where she will just say something or do something, and it's like God just takes me by surprise. It's like, how did she know that that's what I needed at that particular moment? Well, the reason she knew is because, one, she knows me, but also she's got the Lord living in her, and the Lord knows me, and the Lord works in her life in such marvelous ways to meet my needs. And I hope that's the same for her. And, you know, as we go into the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about marriage. He talks about it in the book of Colossians as well. But here is the most thorough passage on marriage, and it talks about wives being submissive to their husbands, husbands loving wives as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on to say in verse 32 of Ephesians 5, this is a profound mystery. Marriage is a profound mystery. But then he says this, but I am talking about Christ and the church, this relationship that we share with our mates. It is a reflection of the relationship Jesus has with the church. It is a reflection of the gospel story in this world today. And boy, that gives new purpose to marriage.
Yeah.
And so when we, get at these points where marriage is tough, we're at odds with our mates, we have a chance to live out reconciliation, to extend forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, to see each other through the eyes of Christ Jesus. And as we do that, what are we reflecting out there to the world at large? The relationship of Christ to his church. We are reflecting that gospel story to the world. So marriage is the most important relationship on this planet outside of our relationship with Christ Jesus. And in light of what Paul says, it has significance, not only as we share life together, but in the fact that we get to reflect the good news story out there in the world, and have our marriages actually be witnesses of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Well, you found Basic Gospel on the air, and if you would like to join this particular conversation on marriage, why, we would love for you to come in and be a part of it right now. 844-322-2742, whatever the issues are, we would love to discuss them with you. If you have a particular Bible question, give us a call. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now, and here's your best opportunity to call and be a part of today's edition of Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, a question from Don, who listens on oneplace.com, and he says, I heard a pastor on the radio say that even those who are saved are going to heaven will be rewarded according to their works. How do I know that works, what works should we be doing? I'm always confused about what the Holy Spirit might be leading me to do versus what I am just thinking up on my own. Is there going to be a caste system in heaven? I already feel like a second-class citizen on earth. It's hard to look forward to being a second-class citizen in heaven, too. I guess being a second-class citizen, however, in heaven is better than the alternative. That's from Don, who writes to us through One Place.
Yeah, well, Don, thank you for writing that. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to send the question that's on your heart to be discussed on the air today. We will be rewarded according to our works. The scripture is clear on that. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he starts by saying in verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that there is this work that we are going to be doing that's going to be built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. And he says this, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame. So we have opportunity to advance the work of God's kingdom here on earth. How are we going to do that? If we're going to do it through human effort, then we are going to be utilizing building materials such as wood, hay, and straw. They're of very little value. They're of no value at all, as a matter of fact, to the advancement of the kingdom. And those works will be burned up. So if I'm trying to build a church through human effort or through fleshly means or whatever it might be, or I may be out, doing missionary work in hopes of saving my own soul, I'm not building upon the foundation of Christ Jesus.
Right.
I'm using the materials of this world, so to speak. And you're not going to get rewarded for that. Those things are just going to burn up. But if we are allowing Christ to do his work in and through us, and the work that is being accomplished is sourced by Jesus, it is kind of an architect by Jesus, if everything kind of flows from him and then we step into that work by faith, then we're going to be building on the foundation with gold, silver, and costly stones. And those things are going to stand the test of time. Those things are eternal as far as God is concerned, and we're going to be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
So what that is we're just simply participating in God's work in and through us, and we do that by faith. And all throughout Scripture, we see people being commended for their faith. And so when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be commended for our faith as well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not for human effort, not for pride, not for fleshly means, but by faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that Paul wrote about rewards was for this, is to eliminate judging one of another here and now. So there were folks who were following Apollos, those were following Paul, some were following Peter, others were following Jesus, and they were saying, hey, what we're doing is more important than what you're doing. Well, we're all members of the same body. It's the same spirit that is enabling us and gifting us to serve the body so that the body can carry out its purpose in the world today. So all of that is from Christ. So why should we say that one work is more important than another? Why should we say that one way is more important than another as far as works are concerned? Yeah. There are going to be some that evangelize, some that build disciples, some that serve the needs of the poor, some that do all sorts of things. And God uses all of that for His glory and for His purpose. So let's stop judging and recognize that each of us are going to stand before the Lord and we're going to see what God has done in and through us.
Right.
That's what this discussion is all about. Quit judging one another.
Yeah.
Quit judging why people are doing what they're doing. Only God knows the heart, and that's going to be revealed, and their works are going to be seen for what they are. One last point on these works. A lot of times we look at works in the context of good and bad. So we're thinking of, oh no, my sins are going to be judged again. My sins are going to be revealed, so all of eternity is going to know what I've done and you know, all the things that are in my heart. That's not what this is talking about at all. It's talking about worth. It's talking about value. Is the work that you're doing of value to the kingdom, or is it worthless to the kingdom? And that depends on the types of building materials you're using.
Absolutely.
Are you depending upon faith in Jesus to carry out the work? Are you depending on human effort? Yeah. Those are the two options.
Don, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening. And if you have further questions, why, drop us an email and we'll be glad to hear from you. Again, open lines right now at 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis here with Bob Christopher. And again, we want to hear from you on this edition. That's why we are live every day, so that you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss your particular situation or your trouble spot. And we'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742.
And our encouragement on today's broadcast is to those who are married to let today be a day that you thank the Lord for your mate, that you say thank you, give a heartfelt thanks to the Lord for bringing that person into your life so that the two of you could become one in Christ, that you could share His life together in such a unique way that you can reflect the actual gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around you.
Uh-huh.
So say thank you for that special person in your life.
Yeah, 844-322-2742. You can do so right now.
Let's go to Hutto, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay. Clay, you're on the line.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. Hey, every day I thank the Lord for my marriage to Jeannie. It's no secret that I was married twice before, and then I was born again, and I swore I'd never get married again. And 10 years later, I met her, and we became friends. And 2 years later, we were married. And I see the difference between this marriage because I don't believe a person can.
Well, we've lost.
Well, it looks like we've lost Clay. So, Clay, if you can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yes.
Yes, we're still here.
Oh, okay. But I think the difference of this marriage is the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And I don't know how, and we're very good friends. And I love her more and more each day. And it's just amazing, you know, compared to the marriages that I see in this world. I always tell these young people, I say, it's not the one you can live with, because there's plenty of them out there. It's the one you can't live without, and there's only one that you can't live without, and God will choose that one.
Yeah. Well, Clay, thanks for jumping on board with us today, and continue to thank the Lord for that special person in your life.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Clay. God bless.
844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And we would love to hear from you. If you would like to give accolades to the one that you're married to, why, we would love for you to be able to share that on today's edition on the air on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, today's a significant day for me. It was 16 years ago that my dad passed away.
Wow, and, I can't believe it.
Yeah, can't believe it's been 16 years. But I had a chance to talk to my mom this morning, and we reflected on that day and talked to Coleman, my son, about that day as well, because I got a call from my sister early in the morning, and she said, you know, he didn't make it. And those words still just ring in my head even today. But Coleman came into the room, and he heard me sobbing, and he had actually heard a little bit of the phone conversation, and he just came into the room and just grabbed hold of me and hugged me and just, you know, wouldn't let go, and I didn't want him to. It was one of the most significant moments in my life. But as I think back on my dad, you know, I think about his marriage to my mom. And he really put flesh and blood on this command that Paul writes in Ephesians 5 for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I think my mom, and I know my mom, knew that she was loved above all people by him.
Yeah.
And boy, that lesson has never been lost on me. That is something when I married Gina almost 25 years ago, I said, if only she could know, just a portion of what my mom knew as far as dad's love for her was concerned, boy, that would just be spectacular. And that was one of the things that I learned from my dad is how much the marriage and the way that you love one another and serve one another truly reflects the love of Christ in this world. And I wrote about that in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It says, as a husband, he put real flesh and blood to the command to love mom as Christ loved the church. She was the most important person in the world to him. It's not that they never fought or disagreed or got out of sorts. They did, but it never lasted long. When Dad died, there were no regrets. Nothing was left unsaid. Nothing was left undone. Mom knew she had been truly and genuinely loved, and I want my wife, Gina, to feel the same way.
Yeah.
That's how important marriage is, and again, we encourage you to say thank you for that special person in your life.
Well, that's an exemplary testimony to your family, Bob, and to your marriage with Gina and to your children, Caitlin and Coleman and Mackenzie. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love for you to do that right now, quickly if you can, 844-322-2742. You know, Basic Gospel is on the air every day to get the word out that Jesus is alive, forgiving, and wants to give us his life. That's a message you hear every day on this broadcast, and we say thanks to each of you who partner with us to keep the good news coming. And for a gift of any amount this month, we're going to send you a copy of our study guide, The New Covenant Journey, which we're studying through each Friday. And if you don't have yours, why, we encourage you to take the opportunity to support the ministry and at the same time get your copy of The New Covenant Journey. To claim yours, simply go online to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page, that's basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. A copy of the New Covenant Study Guide will be yours for a gift of any amount, and we encourage you to make that double opportunity, as I said, to support the ministry and at the same time get your copy of the study guide. Well, again, I want to give the number, Bob. We have a call coming in. Let's see if it gets on the board. And 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free number across the country and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, let's take a question from Lewis, who writes to us from the Bronx. I'm sorry, from Brooklyn, New York. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Question, does this scripture apply to believers only? What about the unbelievers when they face difficulty and are alone to work things out? That's from Lewis in Brooklyn.
Well, I think that verse is specifically for believers, for those who love the Lord. So who've been called according to his purpose. All that is pointing to the fact that Paul is specifically talking to believers in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not working on behalf of those who are lost. I think there's all sorts of things happening in each and every person's life that God is at. His hand is at work in their situations so that they can come to a point and reach out to him and he can be found. Acts 17 talks about that. Paul is in Athens, and he's talking to the philosophers of the day, and he's saying, hey, you have this idol with the inscription to an unknown God, and I'm here today to make him known to you. And he talks about the fact that God does not live in temples built by hands, that he is much bigger than that. He talks about the fact that God has positioned each and every one of us at a certain time in history, in a certain place in history, with certain circumstances happening in history, so that we could seek him and find him, and to have our lives move and all of that in him. So God is doing all of that in the lives of unbelievers so that they can come to know him through Jesus Christ. That's just the way it works, and that's a powerful, powerful thing. But as far as Romans 8 is concerned, I think this is specifically a passage to believers. It's a powerful passage, but it does say, works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. So what does this work to cause all things together for good bring about? The conformity to his Son, to the image of his Son. That's God's predestined purpose. That's what he is doing in Christ for us. He is conforming us to his Son. So the circumstances that we find ourselves in, whether good or bad, God is using in believers' lives to conform them to his Son.
Yeah, absolutely. Lewis, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you.
Let's go to Windsor, Canada, and talk to Fabiola, or Windsor, California.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Fabiola, is that Canada or California?
It's California.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, no worries. The reason why I'm calling is because I wanted to see what your thoughts were and what scripture might have to say about being a Christian and possibly being depressed, whether being you came to Christ, as a depressed person, or whether you were not depressed and then down the road in your Christian walk came and, confronted something and then possibly have gotten depressed. I've heard a lot of things about depression and being Christian, and I'm confused about it because I've heard a believer told me, someone can't be depressed because if the Spirit of God is in them and the fruit of the Spirit is joy, there's no way someone can be depressed.
Well, here's
I just want clarity on that.
Okay. Well, I think Philippians 4:6 kind of helps in that regard. Paul wrote this, do not be anxious about anything. And that anxiety that he's talking there is something that disturbs us internally, that really shakes us up to the point that we are experiencing all sorts of emotional pain. So he's saying, do not be anxious about anything. And the reason he's saying that is because there's a possibility of us feeling anxious, of us actually being anxious. So I think Paul is saying that, just because we have the Lord doesn't mean that we're escaping from the things of this world. This world can be an overwhelming place. We can experience the death of a loved one. We can experience financial reversals. We can experience things that just put us in the depths of despair, where we feel like we've lost hope. But that's why Paul says, don't be anxious, because we have a living hope right there for us in Christ Jesus. He is alive. And because he's alive, he can speak into any situation that we find ourselves in. And so we have to pin all that we are, all of our hopes, upon the resurrected Jesus. Because in him, as Peter wrote, we have a living hope. And we can trust him. And that's what Paul was encouraging us to do. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, again, this importance of a thankful heart, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what you need, somebody that will guard your heart and mind And that person is Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you've gotten into depression, if that's something that you're experiencing, you can't wave a magic wand and get out. That's just not the way it works. It's a constant renewal of your mind with truth and allowing truth to set you free. Fabiola, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information, okay? You hang on.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for being with us now. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel.